Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So why do we gather today to worship God in this church on Sunday? Why not Saturday, which was the Jewish Sabbath? Why not Friday, as Muslims gather together on Friday to worship? Why do we worship on this day? We get together in this place every Sunday to worship. The reason we do that is because Jesus rose from the grave on Sunday morning. And so actually, every Sunday that we gather together, we are gathering together to commemorate the resurrection of our Lord. But this day is the day that we celebrate the most holy of days, the day when He rose from the dead. But what's the significance? What's the significance of the resurrection? What does the resurrection really mean? Better yet, did it even really happen? Let's pray together. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, open up our eyes now that we might behold wonderful things in your book. I pray that you will take the holy scriptures and you will illuminate our hearts and our minds. It's not my words that can do anything this morning for anyone, but it's your words. So I pray as we look at this chapter that you would cause the word just to shine forth and accomplish your purposes. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. We're simply going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So if you have a Bible or if you have a phone, so we turn in your Bible or turn on your Bible to 1 Corinthians 15. We're simply going to look at this chapter where Paul gives a defense of the resurrection and to Christ's resurrection. The context of this chapter is that there are some people in the city of Corinth who are saying that there is no resurrection, that when you die, you don't go anywhere. You just stay in the ground and that's it, kind of, you're annihilated. You're just gone. But Paul is going to give a defense that there is actually a resurrection. People come back to life and go somewhere. Something happens. Is there evidence that the resurrection actually took place? Did Jesus actually die and then rise from the dead? So if you have a Bible, first I want to show you in 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. If you have a Bible, it's on the screen, I believe, as well. What does it say? He says, Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. That He was buried, that He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. The Scriptures, firstly, what is it that gives evidence to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ? Firstly, it is this book itself. This book itself gives evidence that Jesus did die and was buried and was raised from the dead. Isaiah 53 in the Old Testament, Psalm 16, both speak of that God's Holy One is going to come and He will not experience corruption. He will not experience decay after He gives Himself as an offering for sin and for guilt. He will live. So the first thing that gives testimony is the Scriptures. And then secondly, there were eyewitnesses to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Verses 5 through 8. He appeared to Cephas, or Peter, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. So Paul uses the word appeared four times. So he wants them to see that Jesus, it's a fact that Jesus actually bodily appeared to people after he had died on the cross. Four times. People saw him. Peter saw him. And then 500 people saw him at the same time. 500 people. There's 120 chairs in this room. 500 people at the same time saw him alive. And he says, and most of them are still alive. So if you want to get in a boat in Corinth and go over to Jerusalem or some of these areas, they're still alive. You can go talk to them. Ask them yourselves. They're still alive. They saw Jesus with their own eyes. Either Jesus is alive, or all those 500 people and the rest of them are just total liars and fakes, just made it up. Paul says in this passage there are two things which testify that Jesus is alive. Number one is the Scriptures. The Scriptures said beforehand that it would happen. And then there are simply eyewitnesses who saw with their own eyes Jesus raised from the dead. So, how can some of these people say that there's no resurrection of the dead in any way whatsoever because a lot of people saw Jesus rise from the dead? So, if one guy can rise from the dead, then other people can rise from the dead as well. So what does Paul do in this chapter in order to get his point across? What he does is he gives a little argument. He says, what if Jesus didn't rise? What if Jesus didn't rise again? Then what? He's going to give us a list. He's going to give us a list of what it would be like if Jesus didn't rise from the dead. But he's also going to be telling us what it is like for us because Jesus did rise from the dead, okay? So, should be on the screen. Just look in your Bible, verse 14. And if Christ has not been raised, he says firstly, that our preaching is in vain. So, Paul and these guys are going around, they're telling people about Jesus, and they're absolutely wasting their breath. They're telling people that if they believe in a dead guy, they'll have eternal life. Just absolute foolishness. If Christ has not been raised from the dead, then it's complete foolishness. They're going around being chased by wild animals, being thrown in jail. All of these things are happening to them. But if Christ has not been raised, then their preaching is in vain. And then he says in verse 14, if you look at it, he says in verse 14 that their faith is in vain. So Corinthians, your faith is a waste of time and it is in vain. In verse 17, he says your faith is futile. So if Christ hasn't been raised from the dead, those who, like people like you, just trust in God, get up every day, maybe you pray, maybe you have some difficulties, and you ask God to help you with your job, help you with your marriage, you're crying out to Him in faith, just totally wasting your time if Christ hasn't risen from the dead. And just stop doing it if Jesus isn't alive. Verse 15. He says, we are even found to be misrepresenting God. So We're false witnesses. We're misrepresenting God Almighty by telling you that you can be saved. We are leading people astray. We are the blind leading the blind off of an eternal cliff. So if you share your faith with someone, you're leading them off of an eternal cliff that they would think that they're saved and they will be damned forever if Jesus isn't raised. In verse 17, what does he say? If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. You're still in your sins. You're not clean. You're still under the wrath of God. You're still guilty. You're still dirty. You have no hope or ability to change. You are still in your sins if Christ has not been raised from the dead. Interesting to think, why didn't he say, you're still in your sins if Jesus didn't die on the cross? Instead, he said, you're still in your sins if Christ be not raised. Let's say a man, see if I can help you with an imperfect illustration. There's a man walks into a restaurant to get a bite to eat. The name of the restaurant is called Sin and Slavery. You walk in the door, and after you walk in the door, they bolt the door behind you. You sit down and you order anything that you want to eat. And you eat and you eat and you eat to your delight. And every bite you take is sweet and savory in your mouth. But it seems with each bite it makes you sick to your stomach and you can't stop. In walks another man. And when he walks in the door, you notice that the owner of the establishment and the people who work there are alarmed. He sits down across from you, but he doesn't eat. And he says to you, would you like to stop? Have you had enough? You say, yeah. He reaches over and he takes the fork and the knife out of your hand and sets them down on the table, what you were not able to do. He does. And your desires automatically change and you don't really want the food anymore. And then he says to the owner of the establishment, check please. But when he says that, the guys who work there and the owner of the establishment, they rush over and they start beating him and breaking chairs over his back and smashing glasses on his head. They spit on him and they beat him. And they're killing him. You try to help, but you can't move. And before he dies, he cries out to the owner of the establishment, I'll pay his bill. And then he dies. Strangely, you are able to get up from your chair now. You stand and you walk over to the manager and you say, is my bill paid? Can I leave? And he says, your bill is paid, but you can't leave. You're not free to go. So you see that door there that's locked? You see that man standing in front of that door named Strong Man? He's got the keys and you can't leave. You think to yourself, well, what's the point of my debt being paid if I can't leave this place called sin and slavery? So you're there for 3 days. For 3 days, the body of the man lays in the corner and you wonder if you'll ever be able to get out. But on the third day, you hear a sound behind you. And the man who was killed is standing now, and he's alive. He says to you, are you ready to get out of this place? Are you ready to go? And you say, yeah. And he walks toward the door and to the strong man, and you back up because you expect a brawl is going to happen. But he simply sticks his hand out, and the guy sticks the keys in his hand with no fight. And he unlocks the door, and he opens it, puts the keys in his pocket, and you try to rush out the door, but you're not able to. And he says, wait, I must go first, and then I will be able to pull you out. He steps out the door, and then he reaches in, and he takes you by the hand, and by his power, he pulls you out, and you're free. Why did Jesus have to rise from the dead? Yes, your sins can be forgiven because of the cross, but you couldn't have any victory whatsoever over sin and death if Jesus hadn't first conquered sin and death himself, and then he's able to pull you out. Look in verse 18. He says, those who have fallen asleep. If Christ has not been risen from the dead, those who have died in Christ have perished. My dad, when I was a boy, your friend, who died with their eyes on Christ, are completely gone, not in heaven, not with Christ, perished. If Christ be not raised from the dead. Verse 19. Wonderful, wonderful verse. He says, if in Christ, we have hope in this life only. Only in this life we have hope in Christ. We are of all people most to be pitied. Have you ever thought about that? Christians are just the most pathetic people in the world. If Christ is not risen from the dead, we are just pitiful. Staying pure till marriage. Wasting our day off to gather together in this place when I could be hiking some trails. Missing a lot of really good movies that I would like to watch, but don't. Being faithful to my wife. Getting up early to try to pray, read the Bible, and expecting to go to heaven when I die. Ridiculous life that we live, right? Ridiculous life that we put ourselves through so much torture and work. If Christ isn't raised from the dead. Verse 32, this is what Paul says. And this is true, folks. This is absolutely true if Jesus hasn't raised from the dead. He said, if the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Let's just enjoy our lives. This life that we have on this earth, just enjoy it. Why be so serious if Christ be not raised from the dead? But look in your Bible at verse 20. Verse 20. A big word. In the English language and in any language, but, in fact, scriptures foretold, eyewitnesses saw, in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, and that changes everything, doesn't it? What does it change? What's the opposite? If Christ has been risen, our preaching is not in vain, but is powerful and used by God to save souls. Our faith is not in vain or futile, but instead our faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Evidence of things not seen. We are not misrepresenting God, but we're Christ's ambassadors. God is making His appeal on this earth through us. We're not still in our sins, are we? But our sins are forgiven. We're white as snow. As far as the east is from the west, He has removed our sins from us. Psalm 103:12. Those who have died in Christ have not perished, but they have everlasting life. You remember Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. those who die with their eyes on Christ and their hope and their trust in Christ will have everlasting life. What about the last one? Are we to be pitied? Are we to be pitied who put our faith in Christ? No, no, no. We are of all people not most to be pitied, but most to be envied. Not only do we have fullness of joy because we know God, but we have our sins removed, our guilt is removed, we have peace with God. He makes us new people. We get eternal life and a glorious, glorious inheritance in the kingdom of God forever and ever. Paul says in this passage that we are the first fruits. Or Christ is the first fruits, I'm sorry. Christ is the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. What does he mean by that? What does it mean? Have you ever thought about that word, first fruits? What does it mean? Listen to this quote. The first fruit, or the first taste of the ripening crop, shows what the rest of the harvest will be like for that crop. So Christ as the first fruits shows what our resurrected bodies will be like when in God's final harvest, He raises us from the dead and brings us into His presence. So just as you, if you had an orchard and it was time for the harvest, you weren't sure if the fruit was ready, you grab an orange off the tree and you take a bite and you say, oh, these are perfect. It's time for the harvest. That means that first taste, that first fruits, is exactly what the rest are going to be like. In the same way, Jesus rose from the dead to show what it's going to be like, not just to show, but it will be like for us. The first of many, what happened to him will happen to all who believe. Look in verse 51. Same context, this famous passage that probably you know, thinking about the fact that one day you'll fly out of here and disappear, and all the airplanes will fall out of the sky, and whatever else you think about that passage. But listen to verse 51. He says, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed as Jesus was changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus died and rose again. The scriptures predicted that he would, and people saw it with their eyes. They were eyewitnesses. We are witnesses. We haven't seen him with our eyes, but blessed are those who see, who believe when they don't see. In closing, You may be here today, and this may sound like good news to you. You may say, this sounds really good for me. I can be forgiven of my sin? You mean Jesus paid for my sin? I can have a new and eternal life, both in this life and in the life to come? Yes, you can. Turn away from the life that you live and turn toward Jesus. Turn to Jesus and believe. Believe in what the Bible says about Jesus. That He died for sinners. He was buried. And on the third day, He rose again and is alive. Believe it, and you will be saved. You may be here today and you say, I'm a Christian. Oh, and every resurrection day we talk about this, but I know this. I've known it my whole life. Maybe you came here today and you're looking for something practical. I understand that, right? I understand that. We are all looking for something practical, something that will help us today if you're a believer. Well, the Scriptures don't leave you wanting. There is something here for us as believers in this passage. Look in verse 56. In verse 56, interestingly enough, He ends this long, long passage about the resurrection with the word, therefore. Therefore. And if you know the word therefore, you want to look and see what it's there for. Therefore, my beloved brothers, in light of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, be steadfast. Immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. In light of the resurrection, the truth that Jesus is alive and He's going to come back, Christian, be steadfast. Persevere. Be immovable. Have your feet planted firmly on the solid rock, who is Christ. Always be abounding in the work of the Lord. You know why? It's not in vain. Without the resurrection, it's in vain. Your faith is in vain. But because of the resurrection, your labor is not in vain. I've got to think there's someone in here today, not in my notes. I've got to think there's someone in here today that you have grown weary. You've grown weary in your Christian life. You're a believer. You believe in the cross. Believe in the resurrection. But you've grown weary in your Christian life. It's just tiring. It's just difficult to always just be working and laboring in this Christian life. Let the resurrection of Jesus give you comfort. It's worth it. It's worth it. I'll ask you a question. We'll close. In 80 billion years, you do believe in eternity, right? You do believe that you're not going to be a Christian on the other side of the resurrection for 100 years, right? It's not 70 years here and 70 years there, right? It's eternity. In 80 billion years, do you think you'll be worried about your little problems and the difficulties that you're going through right now? In 80 billion years, it's not really going to matter very much because Jesus has risen from the dead. And that is our hope. Let's pray. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, I believe that Christ died for my sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried and that He rose again. And that is my only hope. And I expect one day to swing out into eternity on that. Lord, accomplish Your purposes. Any word that I've said this morning that is not beneficial or for the building up of this church, let it be forgotten. But anything that has been said, particularly Your word, I pray that You will let it fall into the ground on good soil and produce fruit. Fruit in the lives of someone who needs to be born again, and fruit in the lives of us who already know You but need to press on. Thank You, Jesus, God the Son, who delivered us from the domain of sin and slavery. When we were feasting on the delights of the world and to stop, that You rescued us and You pulled us out. And we have new life now, and we shall all be changed thereafter. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.